We're live. Yay. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today to talk about self-realization and the inner child. This is a very sacred subject for me because if you're anything like me, loving the inner child, the wounded child, has been a really sacred process and also very needy process because this is the lifetime that all of the parts of myself that didn't feel loved, that didn't feel heard, that didn't feel honored, that didn't feel valued as a child, now was the time to heal those wounds. And it can be very scary and also very liberating. So I invited one of my very special co-hosts, Nadine. Welcome to the show, Nadine.
Oh, thank you for having me, Cornelia. It's lovely chatting to you.
Yes, it's wonderful that you're back. I've had you as a guest on the Cornelia Stephanie Show last year, and you and I made a connection then, and we've become good friends since then.
Yes, we certainly have, yes.
Yeah, so it's wonderful to have you as we're talking about this subject. And as you can see, I brought my sweetie
Yeah, I love that. So cuddly,
pie.
so cuddly. Has
Cuddly,
he got a name, or is it a she?
yeah. It doesn't have a name. It's just Bear. It's just Bear. And
Beautiful.
this is, sometimes it helps when you are healing your inner child and you're sitting with the wounded child. It helps to have something to hold and it helps have something to cuddle, right?
Yes.
Because that has been the hard part because you as the parent, when you're sitting with that wounded child that is now asking for your attention, right? And is asking for your motherly love when you're triggered. Having something to hold and cuddle and snuggle, it could even be a pillow. It could be, it could be anything like this. So I know that you were sharing with me a reminder of something that you have that reminds you of that inner child love that
I
you
do.
done on yourself. So what do you have you want to share?
This is what I have, if you can see. I don't know if you can see. If you can see properly, that's probably better, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a little plaque that I have on my wall in my dressing room. And it is a reminder that is me and my inner child together. And actually, that's the reminder that I need, that actually my inner child is always there and I'm always there for my inner child. So that's the connection of this beautiful wall plaque that it's lovely to share with you. So it's not a cuddly, touchy thing, but it is a visual reminder for me. And that is really important for me to
Yeah.
have that visual and somewhere where I see it every day. So connect, because my inner child does not like to be forgotten. So that little reminder, and she is always with me, is quite a lovely thing for me.
Yes. So, I'm just looking at the state of the world today and looking at like how many billions of people we have on the planet, 7 billion plus, right? So, how many of the 7 billion people that are on the planet have done the inner child work?
Interesting. I would like to guess, actually, but not
Yeah.
enough.
What
I
is
said
your
not
guess?
enough. I'd like to think it's probably about 50%, but I really don't know. It's probably a lot less, actually, but it's so enlightening and it's so powerful once you get in tune, that it is so worthwhile doing. So I would encourage everybody to have a go. But some people might never have heard of this, so
Yeah.
it's really good to
And
chat
I
about
think
it.
this is why I wanted to talk about this because I really want to target the individuals that haven't heard of this, that haven't heard of loving their inner child. I mean, the self-love movement, has really become a wide known movement now. But the inner child is the part in all of us that in our childhood that we didn't get what it is that we needed as children. Mm-hmm. And that part is, you know, coming up today in our awakening, in our self-love journey, in this lifetime. It's coming up today so that we can heal, that we can love, and that we can nurture that part of ourselves that has not gotten what we needed as children. And so I really feel like so many people, you know, like I look at my mother, for instance, you know, and look at, did she get what she needed as a child? And then I look at her mother, did she get what she needed as a child? And so I just see how far back that goes. And I knew for me as a child that I knew in this life, I knew it. I knew that this storyline of being the forgotten, being the not, you know, the child that didn't feel like it belonged, that didn't feel like it had a place, that didn't feel valued, that didn't feel heard, that didn't feel honored for my beauty and my gifts, you know, that stopped with me.
That's the power that we have, isn't it, when we do this work to heal old wounds that go back. And I think you're so right. You know, we can look at our own parenting and maybe see it was lacking, but quite often that comes from a place that it was lacking for them as well. And to recognize that and actually know that the healing we can do for ourselves now using the inner child work and going back to that does reach further back as well. And I think that's very powerful. And it's quite lovely to know that you can heal your ancestors. It's not just about now. It is that work that goes back, and it does. It's very comforting, I think.
Yeah, and I really feel like, you know, this is the most important work, because without the inner child on board in this lifetime, that is going to be the missing piece. And actually, it is the inner child that is healed. I mean, think about it. If you, from the beginning of time, were with your parents, and if you were one of the fortunate ones, and I don't know many people that were and that had happy childhoods, that had full parents on board, especially like from my generation. You know, I was born in 1963. So during that time, I remember actually my mother and my father divorced when I was a young child. So like 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I was already being prepped for having that shame, that, growing up with that shame of not having a family unit, that having only a mother, right? Having only a mother. And at that time, my mother was, she was the main breadwinner because my father was absent and in addiction, drinking. So the mother was gone all the time and working, doing the best she can to support the children. And then who was at home loving the children?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So for me, I was actually the one that was stepping up to the plate to be the mother.
Yeah, exactly.
The wife to mother, if you will, because I was helping her out run the house, right, to make sure that everything runs smoothly, because she was acting as the masculine role in the family. Right. So as a child, for me personally, I never got my emotional needs met. And that was, you know, every child in the world deserves absolutely to have their emotional needs met so that you can grow into the magnificent awesomeness that you are, and you know, live a beautiful life. So as you can tell, this is not a woe is me story.
Not at all, no.
But a lot of people can relate to it, because a lot of us came here to heal these wounds and to really balance the scales and learn to love and nurture our own inner child, the wounded child, so that we can create our new world, our new earth together.
Yeah.
How about you? Tell me what happened in your childhood.
Yes, my parents did stay together, and that was quite unique in my social circle. But it was, for me, I felt unheard. I felt my parents both worked really hard. They did what they did. And I was, I think I grew up very quickly. I wanted to help. I wanted to be an adult. I wanted to do what I could. So that made me, I mean, although I can look back and go, that was a good thing, I learned a lot, it did stop me playing. You know, I didn't play very much. I didn't actually I was always thinking about being busy and helping and doing things. So that, for me, it did shape, because I've done the inner child work, it makes me realise how much that shaped my personality and my needs. And my needs weren't met through nobody's fault. I mean, not blaming. But they weren't met. I wasn't heard. I did feel abandoned, sounds like a strong word, but that's what I felt. I felt ignored. And that has made me be quite a people pleaser, you know, seeking approval all the time. And I recognize that in myself. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is because my needs weren't met as a child. And like you said earlier, you know, that is our formative time. That is the time when our unconscious mind takes everything in. Whatever is done, whatever is said, the emotions that we are surrounded by, we're like a sponge, aren't we? Sucking it all up. And we don't actually know what to do with it when we're very young. So things do stick, don't they? And they stay and they come out later on, mostly at inappropriate times. And then we struggle sometimes to deal with them, don't we? So actually going through that process of connecting with my inner child in later years, when I was struggling with emotions and how to look after myself, because I've never done that, and I didn't have like a role model to learn from either. I wasn't, the self-care and the nurturing wasn't natural for me. So learning that, and the way that I look at it is that connecting with my inner child, and she knew her needs, but they weren't heard, and giving her that time and that space and actually saying, I'm listening, tell me what you need, tell me what I need to do for you. She can tell me, and that's wonderful. So it's a learning experience for me as an adult, and I dip into it. I revisit my inner child so often when I need a bit of guidance, when I'm actually thinking, oh, I don't really know what to do, just to go, okay, then, you know, because when we're young children, they know, don't they, naturally know. And she can always tell me, and she always guides me in the right direction. She'll always help me connect. So there is that complete, you know, backwards and forwards, like how much we help each other. And I'm very grateful for that. So the work that I've done over the years and my past, you know, it shaped me. And as I say, I'm very grateful for all of it, really.
Yeah. So when you work with your inner child, do you do it when you feel triggered by something, like an event that occurs, or you know, you get triggered, and then all of a sudden your inner child now is activated, and then she comes calling. So is that when you go in, or do you go in when you're not triggered? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually. A bit of both. I'd like to say I have a regular practice, but I'm a little bit lax, like a lot of people. But when I am triggered, as you say, when there's something that hits home, then my inner child is there almost knocking, like, hear me, hear me. And what I find in my, and it might sound a bit comical, but in my day-to-day life is when I start behaving like that naughty little child, you know, because that's coming out. And then I go, oh, I know what this is. Have a little time and space and connect. And then that serves me really well to actually know what I need and what I need to be doing. So it helps me. But I've got to be honest, I don't always remember enough. I'd love to say I do a daily practice and that's work, because if I do it daily and I start my morning that way, then it serves me well for the rest of the day. But I don't always do it, so I'm human, so I don't always.
Oh yeah. Well, for me, you know, the way that I have loved my inner child is in my awakening over the last decade, where that part of me was a very active part of focus. So during that time, I want to say over the last 12 years, 13 years, 14 years, something like that, was very, you know, this was front and center for me. Mm-hmm. And basically, I would be triggered by, you know, because as I am becoming awakened and as I'm awakening to who I am and doing that deep inner work, so, you know, allowing more light to be in my consciousness, in my body, in my awareness. And then when if I'm at an event and let's just say my mother is there and maybe I'm feeling particularly sensitive at that time and I'm feeling really sensitive, and then maybe something would happen there at the event and would trigger an old childhood memory of something that made me feel you know, not valued, not heard, not adored, not loved, you know, like you know, be quiet, you shouldn't make so much noise, you shouldn't, you know, whatever the story was, right? So during that early time when that would happen, I remember my last active event actually happened last year when it was 4th of July and I was at my mother's house, and there was a party there, and even, you know, during mid of COVID, but we were outside and social distancing and all of that. But I personally was taking some huge quantum leaps in my own work right now that I was doing. So I was feeling really, really sensitive. And when I was over there, I remember there was a trigger that happened. And I remember sitting there, I felt it. And I said, wow, I'm so surprised that this is still here and that I'm feeling this. So it was interesting because normally, before I learned how to love myself and before how I learned how to put myself first, I would have just stayed at the party and I would have done all the whatever, and I should stay here, I should do this. But because my inner child was activated, the number one thing to do is go nurture. So all of these things were happening within my awareness at that time while I was there. And I, you know, I was observing it and I said, okay, I'm going to, Mama Bear is going to go and take care of my baby, my inner baby, my inner child. And so I thanked everyone. It's nice to see everyone. Many blessings to everyone. And I came home and sat with my inner child and brought the love and the awareness. And basically it's like, I see you. Yes. I see you. And this is, I love you and I hear you and I honor you. And that is what I mean by the self-realization and the inner child, is when the self realizes the inner child and loves that part of ourselves whole and free, you are now becoming more of who you really are. And with that love, that is the love that's going to ripple out into the world and make the world a better place because of the love that you have given yourself.
Yeah. It's so true, isn't it? Because it is that the ripple effect. If we are loving ourselves, if we are caring for ourselves, then it just has an effect. And if everybody is doing it, then the world is a wonderful place, isn't it? And that's the work, isn't it? That's the lesson, if you like. And I think I'll just pick up on what you said there a little bit, just how I heard it, is that the when you are, your inner child is calling out, it gives you permission, doesn't it, to actually go, I'm going to do what I need to do. Because we're so often as adults going, actually, no, we don't put ourselves first. And actually, well, that's what I love about the connection with my inner child, is that actually I'm going, no, I'm going to care for my inner child like you would for a child that you birth, for want of a better expression. But you actually, you know, for you, for yourself, just to listen and do what needs to be done. And I do find that very freeing, actually, to go, well, my inner child needs it, so that's what I'm going to do. And then we can do, like you just said, go home and have a cuddle, go home and do what you need to do.
Well, can you imagine, I mean, when I was growing up, that part of me, that when I was looking at my mother and I was asking, you know, will you notice me? Will you stop the party over here and will you notice me? Because I need this time, and I didn't get it. Yeah. And so here I am at the party. And so who's the parent here?
You
I'm
can
the
do
parent,
it.
Right.
Yeah. You so, can do it for yourself.
So now I'm stopping the party. Bye-bye, you know.
Because you can.
Exactly. So that's such a liberating piece, you know, when we can really bring make the choice for taking care of the inner child, the wounded child that has never before gotten that deep divine love, the mother's love and the father's love. I'm talking about the kind of love that we get from God, source, the universe, Mother God. That is a beautiful Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene. It's that kind of love, the mother of God, that mothering that we need to be held and know that we are loved.
I mean, it's such a basic need, isn't it? And I think people talk a lot about unconditional love. I'm still working out exactly what that means. It doesn't matter in a way, but I see it more as almost unfiltered, unhindered, because like we've both just expressed, you know, our parents were busy. There were things that they needed to do. That's life. And that's, you know, that's okay. I'm not criticizing. But actually, when you can just care for yourself, then actually nothing else gets in the way. And that's pure, isn't it? And that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's a gift we can give ourselves.
It is. It's actually what we must give ourselves, because you don't want to leave this life and carry that with you without this being nurtured and healed. Because I truly feel like this is where the greatest gift lies. Because once the wounded child has really been given everything that it needed, the emotional wholeness, the emotional nurturing, the safety, the approval that the mother and the father, the inner parents, I like to call them, the inner, because we've got, we, you know, there's times when we're having to really, you know, we're both entrepreneurs in business, and when we're having to use our masculine energy to get things done and, you know, stay strong in what it is that we're showing up for. And, you know, that requires a lot of, I can, I am the hero, I am magnificent. That requires that energy that the father would have told you as a child, you are, right? All of that. So we have to, becoming the inner parents, becoming those parents that we didn't have. And again, like you said, it's not about the blame. This is not about blame at all. It's not, it's about pure empathy for yourself and also for the lineage. You know, I mean, when we're looking again at the 7 billion people that are on the planet, you said 50%. I think it's less.
way off. Yeah.
I think it's less. I think it's like maybe 25%. But I do, I do feel like, you know, and thank God for the movement that has taken over and the new earth consciousness and the movement of the, you know, the ascension and the light workers and all of the people that are awakening to remember who they are and all that inner work, that personal self-development work that people are doing, that laying a spiritual foundation down for themselves to know so that they can really be in touch with their intuitive side, that they can know that they are connected to everything and everyone, that the separation was a lie and that we've been separated from our source. So there's so much to all of this, loving the inner child, but I really feel and know that once a person begins that process of really going deep with the wounded inner child, once that has been nurtured, that is healed, and then it becomes almost like another lifetime ago. It becomes like another lifetime ago, because now you're going to be more willing to play with your divine child. You're coaxing that inner child that's now going to play, and have fun and play and bring your joy into your life rather than and acting more intuitive and more childlike and be more in your bliss, you know, and be willing to be goofy and have a good time and have fun, which I think are so also necessary. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I so agree with you. It is that, again, it's that permission, isn't it, to go, we can be childlike, we can, and we can't if we still have things, our needs are met from our younger self, our inner child. So once we've met those needs, like you say, that frees us up completely to play, to enjoy, to take risks, to actually just be who we are and shine brightly, as we do as children, as little children, before we actually start to take on the woes of the world, as I put it, because that's what I felt like when I was younger. Actually, going back to that, I have 13 years experience as a nursery teacher, and I saw that joy and that bliss and that unhindered sort of just going for it with the 3 and 4 year olds, you know, for so long. And I was so privileged to be part of that, because it reminded me and it was lovely. But it does unfortunately change as we get older. But we can go back to it, and you're absolutely right that getting in tune, healing, giving the attention that our inner child needs frees us up in our life here and now and allows us to shine brightly and be amazing and do what we want to do and what we need to do. And with less fear, with more conviction. And like you say, tuning into our intuition, because that is, we know all the answers, don't we, if we just listen.
Yeah, I love that. And this video, this conversation, this podcast is for all the children. Yes. It's for all the children. It is for all. There's still so many children out there that are not getting their emotional needs met today. Many, from all the way from, you know, the mother down the street that is a single mother that is has, you know, working 3 jobs to take care of her children, to all the children that are on their phone devices or games, all to tune out and not listen to, you know what it really means to connect with the inner self and, you know, have a connection other than the technology. Yeah. And then we have, you know, childhood trafficking happening. We have, and you know, there's so much of this. That's why the more people that we can really get focused on loving the inner child, and that we can become these amazing parents, our inner parents to ourselves, and that let that ripple out, that will make the world a better place, and we'll have more compassion and more openings for the people that need us to support them. So Nadine, you are helping people now. How, you know, let me know, how do you help people, you know, discover their awesomeness? What is it that you...
Oh, I just love it. And it is the reason I'm doing what I'm doing now, helping other people, is because I needed it all myself. So what I've been through, like say the inner child work and lots of other things, I now can help other people in the same way. So I'm really in tune with someone that is struggling in their day-to-day life now because of something in the past that they might not even remember, they might not recognize. And quite often, as I was myself, I'm quite fearful of going back there, quite scared of actually revisiting my past, and also thinking I really can't do anything about it. But what is so empowering is the fact that doing this inner child work and going back and revisiting and loving and nurturing things that weren't done, maybe you can heal and you can change things. And I am living proof of that. I believe it wholeheartedly because I've done the work. So I can then guide people and help people to do the same when they're feeling stuck and when they're feeling scared and when they're feeling they can't move forward. And that to me is really, really important because it's helped me. And I'm that natural. You're probably the same, Cornelia. You know, when I learn something and when I can see the benefit, I just want to share it with everybody else. And that is the joy, isn't it, to be able to share that knowledge and share that understanding.
Yes, and that is the gift. That is the gift. It's actually your responsibility, really, to share your, you know, share it with people because it's going to support someone else and make their life better when you do share. Sharing is caring. And that is. So how do people connect with you on social media or even, you know, look you up and find out more about the work you do?
Yeah. Probably the easiest thing is to look at my YouTube channel because there's lots of information on there. There's interviews that we've done, isn't there? And little meditations that people can have a little taster of. And that is just Calm Herself. So that's C-A-L-M-E-R-S-E-L-F. I had to think then how you spell self. YouTube. And that's probably the easiest place for people to find me and connect. So.
Good. Well, good. You know, there's a couple stories that came to mind when you were talking. And that is recently when I was working with a client, I remembered this story from my past that I hadn't thought about in a very, very long time. This is what I mean by when you heal, when you truly, truly heal, like the things that happened to you in your childhood, it's like, very hard to connect because you have released it and let it go. It's like, wow, that's why it feels like, you know, another lifetime ago, right? But I thought about this. I was reminded of this because of this work that I was doing with this client, and it brought it to my awareness during the session. And basically what it was when I was a kid, I used to make myself sick so that I could go to the hospital so that I could get attention by the nurses. Because once when I was really sick, I was in the hospital and I was almost dying of a lung infection as a child. And that was during the time that, and I'm even wondering still to this day, was that a manifestation for attention? But basically couldn't breathe. And but from that point, I was in hospital for like 30 days, long time. And I was in an isolation unit where, you know, it was only, you know, the nurses could come in and my mother was allowed to come in, but no other visitors, no other. So it was really interesting. And I remembered that how much I loved being there. Can you imagine? And I loved being there because the nurses, they were so.
The attention. You're getting the love, aren't you? You're getting the attention. I can so relate to that, Cornelia, really, really. How many others do that?
Exactly. And so this was a big, huge piece for me because this was a pattern for, you know, that I would make myself sick, or I would think thoughts that would lead to that kind of thing, to, you know, get attention, to get love, to get nurturing. I was really starved for that. So, and this is why I'm telling you, and there's so many things that I've overcome, just like you, that it can be done, and it really can be done. And it's for those people out there that are thinking about committing suicide,
yeah,
that are drowning themselves in addictions, mm-hmm, that are not feeling loved and approved of because you just don't feel like you have a place in this world.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that you came here to co-create the new earth. Mm-hmm. You came here to be your magnificent self. You did not come to fit in. You came, mm-hmm, to build the new. So this old world that had us deceived and that had us separated and had us buy into belief systems that we were gullible to, that were not true, this is the part of the inner work. So it's an honor and a pleasure to be here today to talk about this. And as you know, Nadine, I've got my 21-day positivity, yes, challenge.
Yes, which is amazing. It's really, I loved doing that. And as you know, I did 21 days and more. I dipped back into it and I did more. It was so wonderful. And I think that, you know, for everybody to have a go, because that is, I found that not just self-love and inner child work, it touched on that, but it was much more about how you carry that forward and how in daily practice you're setting up habits and you're actually really nurturing yourself in ways that I wouldn't have done by myself. So it's a lovely guide. And as I say, it deepened my practice to do those 21 days. And I did revisit some of the ones that really, really hit home to me. So it was beautiful to do that.
Yeah, and it's good because this 21-day positivity self-challenge, it's my desire to impact a million people with this beautiful deep inner practice that you were talking about, that really took you deeply in. And a lot of people that take the challenge, they love it because it is a self-paced practice that's 2 minutes a day, and that really gets you to focus on rewriting the story of your life, that you are not the person that you were, you know, that you were born into. You didn't come to be a loser. You didn't come to be a failure. You didn't come to be sick and, you know, not amount to anything. You came to be your most magnificent, beautiful, amazing self. And that 21-day challenge is going to assist you with going deeper in by focusing daily for 10 minutes on your gratitude. What emotions are you releasing today and letting go of? What are the positive thoughts you're thinking of yourself? Like, I am love. I am beautiful. I am confident. I am able. All of those are so important because you have to be able to think it, which is the subconscious belief that you're reprogramming. You have to be able to feel it. And you have to be able to, on a spiritual level, intuitively feel that wholeness, that connectiveness to the source, the universe. Yeah. And that's why $21, 21 days, a million people, I'm inviting you to take the 21-day self-positivity challenge and join us as we co-create and make this world a better place. Mm-hmm. This ripples out and it does.
It does.
Yeah. So I'm going to put the link below where people will be able to access the page and then join us whenever you're ready. But you cannot not do this. You cannot go into your deep inner spiritual self and contribute what it is that wants to come through you, what it is that wants to emerge through you. A lot of people, you know, they look at me and they think, I've been told this. They think, you know, that I'm so super strong that I come across as really strong. And they think that I'm rich they think, that I'm rich, that I'm strong, and I really am in my being, am all of those things. And I wouldn't be there had I not done that work.
Yeah.
I know where my strength comes from, and I feel that emotional richness in all the areas of my life, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of all the political chaos that is going on in the world. So when you can have that strong of a center of emotional wholeness and know that you can weather the storms that are before us and that you came for greatness, this is what I'm inviting you to do.
And I can so see that. And I just, for people that don't know you, I've got to know you through this pandemic, and I can see and feel your strength and your love and support, and it is there. But you are human, as I can see the other side too, but you have that strength and that love and support, and you give it. And the 21 days is a really lovely way to be nurtured by you, because you do, you know, you pass that on and you show people how they can do it for themselves within those 21 days. So that's a very good place for people to start to get to know you and what you can do.
Yeah, and you know, I love that so much. You said two things, that I'm human. That's good. That's good. Well, I tell you, I couldn't be any more human. A person that has, you know, I have, revealed myself to the world about my core wounds and the issues of suicide that I've struggled with half of my life, how I've overcome, and the things that I've overcome, drug abuse and, sexual abuse and so many, I had the whole full gamut that I came here to heal this lifetime. And so I know that if I can do it, that you can do it too. And the other thing about being strong is that being vulnerable is the new strength. Mm. And so the more that we're willing to be vulnerable and to share our authentic heart, but not from a place of allowing people to walk all over us, but from a place that has good boundaries, good, healthy boundaries, knowing, that you're going to protect yourself. That you're going to protect yourself, and that, you know, nobody's just going to be able to come in and pull the wool over your eyes, because you've got a fierce relationship with Mama Bear and Papa Bear, and your inner child is also there. So this is a beautiful relationship in this life when we're learning how to love ourselves free, which is one of my signature slogans.
Yes, I love that.
Love ourselves free. Love ourselves free and love ourselves whole. Anyway, I thank you so much, Nadine, for coming on.
Thank you. I love chatting to you. And that's like a deep, deep subject, isn't it? But really valuable. So,
I want to come back. So I think what we'll make this part one, self-realization and the inner child part one. I want to come back and do self-realization, the inner child part two. I want to talk about it until we're done talking about it.
Yeah, I'm happy with that, because it's a big subject, isn't it? There's a lot that we can share with that. Yeah,
there were several stories that came to mind that I also wanted to share, but it's, I don't want to make it too long. And so we want to thank the audience for listening. And please share this information with the people that you know are struggling, that might need to hear. When you see someone that is wounded or hurting emotionally, and someone that is ready to do that deep inner work, that is, this is the answer to a prayer that they may have had, right?
Yes, definitely share like we do naturally. Everybody share.
Everybody share. So you can check us out on the Cornelia Stephanie YouTube and also Nadine's YouTube, and like and share. And then also you can find us on your favorite podcast app, on all the Google, Spotify, iTunes. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We'll see you again next time. And have fun loving.
Thank you.
Yeah, your children. Hi, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.